Amen, amen. I tell you this morning, if you've ever had the experience to share in Christ and prepare some words beforehand, you've had that experience where the printer's not working, or you lose your manuscript notes and that kind of thing. And so I was sweating before I got here to church, but thank God. And the Spirit reminded me that everything that He has given us, He is able to bring to our remembrance. And so if you're going to remember, that means you have to have it. You have to have had it at one point to remember it. The Holy Spirit can't help you if you never had it to begin with. Can't help you remember what you never had to begin with. Amen. But anyway, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time and for an opportunity to share. I do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord God, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you that we will be edified by the word of God. We will be edified by your spirit. And that we go forth from this place being the light and the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, good morning, everybody. I want to begin by turning to Galatians, the second chapter, and I will read just a couple of verses from Galatians, the second chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Galatians 2 and 16. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I still hear a couple of pages, and some of you are probably pulling out your tablets and phones and trying to find that application with the Bible on it. That works okay, too. The Word of God. Amen. So the 16th verse, the word says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I'm going to skip down to 19. It says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I want to speak just a couple of minutes, really from the subject, how we frustrate the grace of God. Frustrate the grace of God. And God must be working with Northgate on this issue of grace. It seems in the last couple of weeks we've actually heard quite a bit about grace. Our apostle and Pastor Thurlow spoke to us last week about grace in a great depth. If I can summarize what it was that he said about grace, is that grace is the love of God experienced through his forgiveness and expressed in the life of Jesus Christ on the cross and then raised again, all for our benefit. All for our benefit. It was a deed that is meant for each one of us to take personally. And having received that forgiveness and grace of God, that is what God intends for us to extend to each other. To extend to each other. What I've learned is that the mercy of God is not receiving what we deserve.
Amen.
Amen. The mercy of God is not receiving what each of us deserves as the result of our actions, our behaviors. The grace of God is giving us what we do not deserve. We do not deserve the grace of God. We do not deserve the grace of God. And yet, having received a gift, what we do not deserve, we manage to frustrate that grace. We manage to frustrate that grace. And a lot of us, we think of it maybe as frustrating God. And I want to say that God is a personal God. He seeks a personal relationship with each one of us. God is actually an emotional God. The Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. And one of the earliest verses that each of us learned was that Jesus wept. The shortest one, the significant one, it lets you know that God is real, that He is touched by our experience and our lives. And He wept about each and every one of our lives. God is an emotional God, but we're not talking about frustrating God. The Bible does talk about frustrating the Holy Spirit of God, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. So that is true. But here in this text, I believe we're talking about frustrating grace, which can be personified as God, right? God is love. Amen. God is grace. Okay. But frustrating grace means that we are not allowing God to operate in our lives. We're not allowing the grace of God, the gift of God, which we do not deserve, to operate as it should in our lives. And so we are frustrating grace. And Paul is saying, I do not allow myself to frustrate the grace that God has given me. He was really talking to an audience in the first century of the church that didn't understand what God in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, was all about. And each one of us at this point in time, we should really realize what that is. He did not have us tie ourselves to the law in order for us to be free to do the work of God. Do not tie ourselves to the sin that is associated with the law so that we would be free to do the things of God. And so I have just a couple of points wherein we might frustrate the grace of God. I feel like, and all the songs have been removed here, but I feel like much of what we experienced this morning, even from the prophetic, Bob talking about God, at first was the Word was with God. Amen. And then, you know, all the way to the example that Dwayne gave of Christ speaking to the woman and showing the grace and the mercy that is God's. And so I feel like we already have set the table for what I'm about to say. The first thing is that in the grace of God, we mustn't fall prey to the laws of the world. And that seems fairly simple. But I know when I get to talking about the law, particularly the laws of men, there are a lot of you that would disagree with them. Depending on where your political proclivity really is, you know, what side of the aisle you sit on, there are not enough laws. Laws that are not just. Maybe there are too many laws. And maybe the laws that we have are not enforced justly. Anybody missing that? Maybe the laws that we have are not enforced across the board justly. And so there is a lot of unrest in this society that we have. But if we disagree on the issue of laws, how many there are, whether or not they're just, you know, whether we do not have enough of them, we can all agree that the best of God's laws are reflected in man's laws. The best that man has is all an extension of what God gave to us.
Amen.
In his commandments.
Amen.
The best of what we have. A very easy example is thou shalt not kill. It's a no-brainer. Thou shalt not take another life. Life is precious. We value life. Hard to find disagreement there. But if I look closely at the world, the reason why that is held up among men is sort of sick quid pro quo. Because I value my own life, I will agree not to take yours. And I expect for you to feel the same way about that. Amen. So I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't know if it is an appreciation for God and God's commandments, or a value for each man's life as much as it is a value for our own life that makes that law make sense to everyone. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have other laws, of course, that man has made. And again, many of them do follow after the laws that God gave us. Even bankruptcy. You'll find that extends from the day of Jubilee. The day of Jubilee. When everybody's record is wiped clean. Your debts are wiped from the books.
Thank you, Lord.
And you get to start again. I hear you, Rudolph. I hear you. Amen. 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 But the best of our laws reflect God's heart. Reflect God's heart for man. Reflect God's heart for each and every one of us. And so, even so there are some laws we disagree on, I'm sure that there are some that we agree on in principle, if not in deed. The trouble for me arises when, for the faithful, I hope it all arises for you, is when man designs law solely for its own benefit. Solely for man's benefit. Not for your neighbors, not for the community, not for society at large, and not for recognizing the God who is creator. Man often has moved from God to his own idea and self-determination for himself. It surprises me. We have a young daughter, Andre and I, and many in the congregation have children. It surprises me how often I hear parents nowadays say, let them decide for themselves. No thought for the guidance that we're supposed to be giving them.
Right.
the direction, the instruction. But let them decide for themselves. Let them make up their own minds. Let us not make up their minds for them. The trouble with that is that as a babe, as a young person, as a child, you really don't know how to make up your mind about things. You don't know what the standard, what the authority is. You don't understand the commandments that God has given us as a child. In fact, if we're not going to pass down the commandments to our children are going to be lost. And that is what we are seeing in society. Generation after generation has become lost with regards to who God is. And so I appreciate the verse that you read, Bob, to begin the service or begin the prophetic. In the beginning was God. Before time was, there was God. God is creator. He is the beginning and the end. He is everlasting. He is our authority. He is the standard. He is the banner. He is the light. He is the salt. Amen. If you're thirsty, He is the water. Amen. If you're hungry, He is the food. Amen. And so God is these things, and our children are not even aware. And so as people of God, if we are bending to or embracing the laws of man, we endanger ourselves. We endanger our families. I want each and every one of us to be attuned to what God is telling us, the church. I'm so happy that we have a church that has a school also that is raising champions.
Amen.
Champions for God. Not simply champions to win on the soccer field. Not champions just to do well in scholarship and do well in class and academia. But champions who will recognize God and live for God. Live out their salvation with fear and with trembling. Meaning taking God seriously. And that's the thing that each and every one of us should do. And because we are not taking God seriously, we frustrate the grace of God. We frustrate the grace of God. Vaclav Havel, that name, he's the first democratically elected president of Czechoslovakia. Easy for me to say, Czechoslovakia. In decades. And he was also the first president of the Czech Republic after the splitting between Czech and the Slavic. I have a quote from him, and he says, "The tragedy of modern man is not that he knows less and less about the meaning of his own life, but it bothers him less and less." Each of us is now facing a world that cares less and less about the purpose of God. Cares less and less about the purpose for himself. And you don't think we need the Word of God? I'm happy that the Word of God says, "Touch not thine anointed."
Amen.
If you find that you have trouble in the world with people who know less and less about God, be assured that God is with you.
Amen.
And if anything, we are spreading the faith and the value and the belief that we have on others rather than having them spread what they believe on us. So the first thing that I'm trying to bring to your attention is that we should not fall prey to the laws of the world. the word is meaningful. The word of God has power. The word of God is substance. And while we have the world trying to undermine what it is that we believe of God and the word of God, we find that Jesus assures us that the word of God should be meaningful to each one of us, that it is meaningful to God, that it has power. When he was tempted, he was away in the wilderness, and Satan approached him. The first thing that Jesus faced in this temptation was Satan asking him, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Do that if you are the Son of God." And in my mind, really, I think Satan already knew he was the Son of God. Satan knew that. The demons understand who the Son of God is. But he was trying to get Jesus to step outside the order that God had established, to step outside of the law that God had commanded, to tempt him with hunger because he had been many, many days without, to tempt him with power and self-gratification of who he was in the world. Jesus said in response to him, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, creators of heaven and earth, when he was asked to change stone to bread, he said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Amen.
If that's Jesus' response to temptation, what should ours be? If the Son of God proclaimed the written word as being substance for his response to Satan, the tempter, what should our response be to those who would tempt us? To those that would ask us to step out of the order and law of God? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Our substance is the word of God.
Amen.
How we live life. I want you to know, life is in the word of God. If you're looking for life in all the thing of acquisition of assets, what you live in, what you drive, how many degrees you have, if you're looking for what you eat, even to be sustenance for your life, you're looking in the wrong places. Man shall not live by bread alone. We all need it. That's why we have this family. If you're in need, I'm in need.
Amen.
If you have a need, I feel like I have a need.
Amen.
We are to prefer one another in the Word of God. But no one of us shall live by bread alone. We shall live and have life by the word of God.
Amen.
So don't fall to the laws of the world. The second point that I want to make is recognize that liberty is not free to do anything. Freedom and liberty is not
so that we can do anything that we please. But it is to be free to do amazing things to glorify God.
Amen.
But most of us seem to, before coming to a knowledge of God, think that freedom is just for that. Each one of us talks of freedom. Each one of us wants to be free. And certainly society is telling us we are free and you cannot tell me how I should live my life. I get to determine for myself how I will live my life. Don't tread on me. But I learned very early on, just reading the books of Genesis, Cain and Abel. And Cain is asked, "Where is thine brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That was his response to God, who he knew was creator and God. "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's quite kind of smug. And that was at the beginning. Do you hear anybody today saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's how folks operate. That's how folks live. I'm not my brother's keeper. In fact, who said he was my brother? Amen?
Amen?
But the Bible tells us we are all of one blood.
Amen.
Created. We are each other's keeper. There was a great movement in the 80s, I believe, or 90s maybe, Brothers Keepers movement. But it was a recognition among those of us that have faith, that are believers, that no man is an island unto himself.
Amen.
And in receiving God's grace, we in turn should extend that grace, that forgiveness, that love, that concern for each other. That really is the kingdom of God. Folks who aren't willing to do those types of things and that are selfishly admonishing themselves, encouraging themselves to live a life that is all their own, those are the folks who aren't participating in the kingdom of God. Read your word closely. No idolater. Is that a law of God? You shall not have your neighbor's wife. Idolaters, murderers, you shall not participate in the kingdom of God. It means that if you're operating according to that law and not the law of grace, you don't participate in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is love and righteousness.
Praise God.
Amen. That's what we're supposed to be learning from the Word of God. Not the laws that society has, but the law of God, that we are each other's keeper. We're free. Free from the pain of death and sorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But we're free for something as well. So don't ever think about what you're free from without thinking about what you're free for. There's a purpose for why God did what he did on the cross. There's a purpose. Don't ever think about the fact that you're free without thinking about being a debtor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
We sang it earlier today. All I give to you, God. And is he not worthy?
More than worthy.
Is he not justified? Isn't his kindness and his goodness worth giving your life for? And this is the thing. a lot of us, you know, before we come to understanding, we think of it as being a burden. When we follow the Word of God, the laws and commandment of God, that is the blessing.
Amen.
Whatever you think you're going to lose by giving your life, you are going to gain much more by loving God, by pursuing God, by running after God,
Amen.
By being a part of His family, by being sons of God.
Amen.
He called us all to be sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
The blessing is in the fact that God has created all the earth. And then He said, as the psalmist says, we are to rule over the works of God's hands. Think about that. Each one of you are a ruler over God's creation. And we walk in fear of what man can do to us? When God has said, all of creation I have put in your hands? Whatsoever thing you desire, whatsoever thing you will, you can do it in God's word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
God has given us dominion, and yet we cower to the world and we frustrate the grace that God has extended to each and every one of us. We frustrate, not understanding that we are free to do great things in God, not to do things for ourselves, mindful of ourselves, have now a new determined self-determination for ourselves. We are to serve each other, even as Christ
Amen.
Served us.
Amen.
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 And so I move on now to God desires for us to mature in grace.
Amen.
God desires for us to mature in grace. I don't even have to speak for God. But it frustrates me to have so many Christians the world over, America in particular, probably in a neighborhood and community near to you, Christians who don't desire to grow in the grace of God. The word is not given for each one of us for a time far off. It is given for that reason, that we will see Him face to face one day. And we give God praise for that.
Amen.
But it is also given for us to live the kingdom of God today.
Amen.
And it frustrates the grace of God for us each to determine for ourselves we don't need to grow. We need to just give God praise for making sure I get to heaven. And that's not really the complete picture. It's not the complete picture at all. God desires each one of us to grow in grace, to grow in the Word, to grow in the Spirit of God. That is God's desire for each one of us. I read in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and we've been turning that over in our flock group. Wednesday night, yours might be on Thursday. Some flock groups meet on Saturday. We have some folks turn out to the church to pray on Friday nights. Get involved. Don't get involved for points with God. Get involved because it is life to you.
Amen. Amen.
And I say that to myself also.
Amen.
I find that whenever I am away from the fellowship of God, my tendency is to fall away from God, not fall towards God.
That's right.
Amen.
If I'm away from the fellowship of God, I'm repeating, the tendency is to fall further away from God than it is to fall towards Him.
Amen.
When you come to fellowship and learn and pray and praise, you move further in the grace of God. You grow in the grace of God. You become mature in the grace of God. And so each one of us is called to be a part of His fellowship and to grow in grace. And so in Hebrews, the 5th chapter and 12th verse, it says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And I just want to put a pin right there and stop. Because every one of us had that moment when we discovered God's grace. And I don't know if you remember that day, but I remember the day for me. One of the most joyful, joyous, overwhelming experiences I could have, to understand that the God of creation cared for me.
Amen.
And I didn't know anything else except for God loved me and He cared for me.
Amen.
And He showed Himself.
Amen.
And delivered me from all my sin and unrighteousness. And so there may be some today here who are babes in Christ. And that is no shame.
Right.
That is glory to God.
That's right.
That is glory to God. But now, let us turn the page and understand that once you have a knowledge of salvation, you have a determination, hopefully, to walk out that salvation, to grow in God's grace.
Amen.
To act like you know in the vernacular. To act like you know. The world doesn't have anything for me.
Right.
Everything that is life and light and breath and strength, I find in the church of God. And I find it in His word. And I ought not to be not knowledgeable about what God has been telling me.
That's right.
That's the reason why we have depression, destitute, lost, confused, begging, no direction, emptiness. Because we aren't filling the void with God, with what God gave us. We're being satisfied to come on Sunday. And that's all God requires of you. To be thankful for what He's done. Someday you should see yourself serving someone, somebody, some persons, some cause, which is Christ. Where others are thanking God.
Amen.
For what He has done.
Amen.
We cannot sit and not grow. When we ought to be teachers, we're having to be taught again the basics of God. I'm ashamed that our apostle Thurlow Schweitzer comes out every Monday dedicated the reams of paper, the reading, the preparation, the praying, all for the saints, and to have a handful of people show up.
Right. Teach.
And it's not again because we want to appease Thurlow.
Amen.
Though I'm sure he feels that would be nice every now and then. But it's good for us.
Right.
No one should be kicking you into the church for you to get what is life for you.
Amen.
What is life for everyone who comes upon your life? But we're unable to articulate it. We're unable to stand in this world that would undermine everything that we believe in. We are unable to give them the word of God because we don't have it. I started off by saying you cannot remember, and God cannot bring to your remembrance what you did not have to begin with. And so Hebrew goes on to say, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Not in numerical terms, but in maturity. Full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The reason why the world is being able to creep into the church is because our senses are dulled. We don't rightly know when folks are crossing the law of God, the commandments of God, because we don't realize what they are for ourselves. And so in ourselves we say, oh, that makes sense. Oh, that's logical. Why is the church standing against that? Because we don't know. We have no idea. And so to be friends with, to have favor with, to have relationships with our friends and community, we embrace what they have to say. We embrace their beliefs. We embrace their values. Not realizing that the path that they are following is one to death and destruction. And the path that we have been given is to life, and life more abundantly. Amen. Each of us should be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And we will not be able to do that until you determine that that is what we're going to do.
Amen.
Stop singing the hymns and the psalm and determine, commit, that I will not be as the babe needing milk, but I will be a teacher. I will be a prophet. I will be a servant that God can use to be light in a dying world.
Right.
Determine that for yourself. I had much more to say, but I think at this point in time, for each of us to just recognize who we are in Christ, that we are new creatures in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That we are, in fact, the royal priesthood of God. And so, instead of each one of us thinking that we're coming in here to hear a leader of God speak and bless our lives and stand over us and command a blessing, that is the role and the responsibility and the anointing that God has given each and every one of us.
Amen.
We are a royal priesthood.
Amen.
And so it's more than being able to give an answer to someone who believes that Muhammad was the prophet of God. It is more than being able to answer a person who believes that an angel gave golden plates to a man who is now the prophet of God. It is knowing that the Lord we serve is not only prophet, but he is priest and he is king.
That's right.
And he has made each and every one of us a promise. What did we say? It's a promise whereby he swore by himself because there is none greater.
Amen.
He gave us a promise and then he said amen.
Amen.
And that's what the promises of God are. Yea and amen. And so everything that God promised you, he will see it come to pass if you only believe. And so I am encouraging us not to frustrate the grace of God, but to live our lives in service and love and praise for a God who is almighty. Church, say amen.
Amen.